Today's daf is Vachim daf Nun Dalet, and we are 6 lines from the bottom of daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. So the Mishnah was discussing the Korban Oila. Ha'oila kachi kadashim, shchitasim betzafoin, v'kibol dama b'klisharis betzafoin, v'dama ta'un shtei matonois, shehen arba. We saw this machloikis, Rav and Shmuel, what exactly shtayin shehen arba is. Rav says, noisen v'chayzev noisen. Really, it's arba. But being that there's a halacha that the oila required yisoid, just like shvicha shirayim had to be connected to yisoid, so too tchilas oila had to be connected to yisoid. So it's for that reason the kohen couldn't do the 4 zrikas of the carbon oila the same way he did the 4 zrikas of the carbon chatas, because he had to be standing connected to yisoid when he did the zrikas. And being that mizrachis deroimis had no yisoid, so it's for that reason he couldn't necessarily be on the 4 sides, so he had to do it in a way where it would be him standing on 2 parts of the Mizbeach, but ultimately he was going to do 4 Zrikas. Shmuel argued, Shmuel said that Shtayin Shein Arba is Dafka. It's 2 Zrikas that ended up turning into 4. It was Kemin Gamma. Either way, what came out from this discussion between Rav and Shmuel, exactly how the Zrikas of the Korban Oila was done, is that the Tchilas Oila required Yesoid, and there was a Chelek of the Mizbeach that had no Yesoid. Which Chelek had no Yesoid? The tzad deroimi of the Mizbeach and the tzad mizrachi of the Mizbeach. On that note, says the Gemara, so the keret mizrachis deroimis lo yehayu lo yisayid, my time, what's the reason? Meaning, why was there no yisayid? If the other sides of the Mizbeach had a yisayid, why would that side of the Mizbeach not have a yisayid? Amar Rabbi Elazar said, v'shaloi hayis v'chelkoi shal tayrif. The reason is because that part of the Mizbeach was not b'chelkoi shal tayrif. It wasn't in the chelek of Binyamin. And there was a din that the Mizbeach had to be Bechelkoi Shel Binyamin. So again, being that part of the Mizbeach wasn't Bechelkoi Shel Binyamin, it's for that reason there couldn't be a Yisayin. The Gemara explains, Amar Rav Shulam Rav Yitzchak, Mizbeach Oichel Bechelkoi Shel Yehuda Amma. The Mizbeach was in Chelkoi Shel Binyamin. But there was one Amma of where the Mizbeach was supposed to be that entered the Chelek of Yehuda. Amar Rav Levi Rav Chama, Amar Rav Chama Rav Chanina. He explained it even further. There was one string that went from Chelek of Yehuda v'nechnetzes b'chelek of Binyamin and entered Chelek of Binyamin. V'Binyamin HaTzadik bin Star Lebechal Yom. Binyamin HaTzadik was very bothered by it. L'noitlan, he wanted to take it. I'm not sure how he was going to take it, but he was bothered by it and he wanted to do something about it. He actually wanted to take it. Shenemer, as the Pasuk says, Choyfei Volav Chal HaYom. What does that mean? It says Rashi Kadam Hamechashe V'Doyeg. He was thinking, he was calculating, he was masterminding, he was bothered by it, but at the same time, he wanted to take it. Regardless, there was one Ritzua that was supposed to be Bechelkoi Shel Binyamin, that was Bechelkoi Shel Yehuda. Because it was Bechelkoi Shel Yehuda, even though there was supposed to be a Mizbeach there, there couldn't be a Mizbeach there. Says the Gemara, the Fichach, because Binyamin HaTzadik was so bizarre that he lost that one Ritzua of the Mizbeach, Zoche Binyamin HaTzadik, for that reason Binyamin was Zoicha, Venasis Ushpischam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was Zoicha, that the Kodesh HaKadoshim in his Chelek, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Ubenk Seif of Shachet. So really, to fully understand this Gemara, this is a Gemara that's mentioned in a few places in Shas, it's a Masechtas Yuma, Masechtas Megillah, but in order to fully appreciate this Gemara, you have to realize that Binyamin and Yehuda were neighbors. So we know Eretz Yisrael was Nischalko L'Shvatim, and obviously there were Shvatim that were going to own territories that were going to be adjacent to each other. Binyamin and Yehuda, their areas that they yarshined in Eretz Yisrael were adjacent to each other. What was the cutoff line? Amazingly, it was on the Har HaBayis. So there was a part of the Har HaBayis that was Bechelkoi Shel Yehuda, and there was a part of the Har HaBayis that was Bechelkoi Shel Binyamin. In fact, it didn't just go through the Har HaBayis, it went through the Azara. Up until the Mizbeach was Chelkoi Shel Yehuda. So from the Mizbeach to the south, that was all Chelkoi Shel Yehuda. You got to the Mizbeach moving west, the Mokam HaMizbeach, Bein HaMizbeach L'Ulam, the Ulam, the Heichel, the Kodesh HaKadosh, and that whole area where the majority of the Avodah was done, that was all Bechelkoi Shel Binyamin. So the Mizbeach, that's what we're discussing right now, was Bechelkoi Shel Binyamin. And it had to be Bechelkoi Shel Binyamin, because apparently that was the way it was meant to be. But there was one piece, what the Gemara refers to as a Ritzua, that was technically on Binyamin's side of the border that somehow belonged to Yehuda. And that piece was shaped like an L. So he had a chelik that went along the Mizrach side, and then a chelik that went along the Darim side. That area, which technically was supposed to be Binyamin's, That's where the Yesoid HaMizrachi and the Yesoid Deraimi would have been had there been a Yesoid Mizrachi and a Yesoid Deraimi. But being that Yehuda ended up taking that chelek, so, and there was a din that the Mizbeach had to be Bechelkei Shel Binyamin, not Bechelkei Shel Yehuda, as a result, there couldn't be a Yesoid there. So you want to know why there was no Yesoid on the Mizrach side and on the Darim side? Who's the Tairef? The Tairef is Binyamin. Binyamin Zev Yitroif. As the pasuk says. So Binyamin is the Tairef. That area wasn't Bechelkei Shel Tairef. There was halacha that in order to have Mizbeach, it's a Tanayim Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has to be Bechelkei Shel Binyamin. That's not Bechelkei Shel Binyamin. That's why I didn't get it. But if you look at your picture, so there, although there was no Yisoid on the Mizrach side, there was no Yisoid on the Darim side, but there is a little bit of a Yisoid. There's an Amma that's on the corner of Mizrach and Sefonis, and there's an Amma that's on the corner of Maravis Deroimis. So although we're saying there was no Yisoid, there was an Amma. The point is there was no Yisoid that went along the entire area. Regardless, if there's no Yisoid on Mizrach and Deroimis, so you can't do bring the carbon oil on the Mizrach and Deroimis. So the Kohen had to stand either Maravis Deroimis or Mizrach and Sefonis. But the point is it ends up being Shtayin Shein Arba, says the Gemara. I'm going to ask you, Akash, is that that there was no Yisoid by Deroimis Mizrachis. Oyla Saif Ketzit Hayin Asis. How was the Oyla Saif brought? Hayim Moilek Esroi Shami Mularf. So the Kayim would do Malika. There was no Shechita done with the Oyla Saif. There was Malika that was done. Umavdil Umamatsa Dama Al Kerem Mizbeach. And afterwards, he would take the dam of the Oyla Saif and he would do Mitzoy on the wall of the Mizbeach. What's the catch of the Amadoi Hayla Yisoid? If you're going to tell me there was no Yisoid, we know that the Oyla Saif was brought on Deroimis Mizrachis. What's going to happen inevitably is a little bit of dam is going to fall from the oil sa'if, from the tzavra of the oif, and it's going to land on the floor. And that oif is going to be lost. And it's likatchilo that all the dam should end up going on the mizbeach. You're not supposed to be losing any dam. So bishlam, if there's a yisoid, even if dam falls, it's going to fall on the yisoid. The yisoid is part of the mizbeach. But if there was no yisoid in that area, and we know that the oil sa'if was brought in that area, so it's going to come out, you're losing dam, says the Gemara, ba'avira, be'alma, hu dekavit, amrav nachar ba'yitzchak, emar, you have to say, is kachisnu, avira de binyamin, karka de Yehuda. That although Yehuda had this one ritzua that was supposed to be the chalkish of the yamin, and it was supposed to be mokum ha-mizbeach, instead Yehuda got, it was only the karka that he got. But the avir of that area, he didn't get. It's a chiddush. He didn't have the ear rights. So he owned the property. But the ear rights of that ritzua, that belonged to Binyamin. Being that the ear rights belonged to Binyamin, you were able to build a chelik of a mizbeach in the ear. It was just the land, the karka itself, that there couldn't be a yusay, there couldn't be a part of the mizbeach, because that's chelkei shel Yehuda. And there's a din that the mizbeach has to be bechelkei shel Binyamin. But being that the ear rights belong to Binyamin, so you're able to do so. What did they do? What they did was, is they stuck a little board that was more than 3 tefachim off the ground, says Rashi. Up to 3 tefachim, lavud, that's considered part of the karka. But more than 3 tefachim, where there's no lavud, that's already part of the aver. And any dam that would fall from the oila saif would be caught on that board. It had a din of mizbeach. And being that it had a din of mizbeach, it's for that reason, there's not an issue. But again, there was no yesoid going along the Mizrach side of the Mizbeach, going along the Darim side of the Mizbeach, besides for that little Amma that was protruding on both sides, says the Gemara. When we say there's no Yisoid, my way have a lo Yisoid. Rav, I'm a Bavinian. Rav says, what do you mean? There was no Yisoid. There was physically no border over there. You didn't have that little platform. Shmula, the Levi, Abedamin. Levi says, no, really there was a Yisoid. But it just means that Yisoid didn't have any Kedusha, and as a result, you couldn't do Shvicha Shirayim, you couldn't do Azrika Shalaydim Koimai over there. It didn't have a Din Mizbeach, meaning it wasn't Niskadish Le'inyan Dam that you should be able to put Dam over there. But you want to know physically if there's a Yisoid? There was. He said, Rab the Targum. How did Rab know there was a Yisoid? It's because he had the Targum on the Pasuk, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitrof, Ba'boyke Yoichalad Vela Erev Yichalik Shalol. His Targum read, Ba'achsante Yispinei Midbacha. In his chelik, in the chelik of Binyamin, there's going to be a Mizbeach. And only in his chelik is there going to be a Mizbeach. Which means that in the chelik of, which means that there couldn't be a Yisoid in that Ritzua, being that that Ritzua didn't belong to Binyamin, that Ritzua belonged to Yehuda. Whereas Levi Metargim Bachsante Yisvene Mikdasha, his Targum said that in only Binyamin's Chelik is there going to be a Mikdasha, meaning a Makim Mekudosh L'Dama, but it doesn't say that there can't be a Chelik of the Mizbeach in an area that doesn't belong to Shevet Binyamin. So, the area didn't belong to Shevet Binyamin. And it's for that reason, if there was a Yisoid, it couldn't have any Kedusha, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there couldn't be any Yisoid there as well. So, what is this Targum? Rav Metargim Bachsante Mikdasha. If you take a look at the Targum Unkelus on this pasuk, so Binyamin, this is in the Birchas Yaakov. Ze'ev Yitrof, he's like a wolf that's toyreif. So the Targum Unkelus says something very, very mysterious. Binyamin, ba'are in his land, Tishrei Shchinta, the Shchina is going to be Shaira. Ubachsante, and in his area, Yispinei Makdusha. That's Levi's Gersa. Yispinei Makdusha. There's going to be a Mizbeach that's going to have Kedusha. Betzafra ubetanya, Yehoin Makrivin Kayanaya Karbana. In the morning and in the evening, the Kayanim are going to bring Karbanas. Ubeidan Ramsa. When it gets night, Yehoin Mefalgin Moisach Ukayoin. They're going to divide the Shola. They're going to divide the Matnes Kahuna Mishar Kachaya from all the Kachim. So this is a real Kachim Pasuk. You read the Pasuk, you don't expect that to be the Targum Unkelus. Binyamin Ze'ev Yitra. Binyamin is a wolf. Okay, why is he a wolf? Not sure. But Baboyke Yoichalad, Ulev Yichalag Shol. That's what Ze'evim do. They go after their prey and they eat it and then they divide it amongst their chevra. But Rashi says that's not, that Unkelus says not what's going on. What's going on is this is a reference to this idea that Mizbeach was Bechelke Shol Binyamin, and in the morning, this is the Karbonis that were brought. The erev in the afternoon as well, and it comes to nighttime. Yichalik shalol. That's where they mean yichalik shalol. I saw Shmuel Yankiv and Zayis Yaakov says that the pasuk says that Shevet Levi is ein loychelik v'nachla imach. So what does chelik v'nachla mean? So Rashi says in Chumash, nachla we know means they didn't have a Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. Chelik means that when the Yidden used to go fight wars, they didn't have a chelik of the shalol. So if they came back with the spoils of war, so it got divided amongst the shvatim. But Shevet Levi has no chelik. So ein loychelik bebiza. The Nachla, that's a, they have no Yerusha in Eretz Yisrael. So Shmuel Yankiv said that connected the fact that Shevet Levi has no Shalol, ki ein loichelech, der zoicha to le'erev yichalek Shalol. You see, the Torah refers to the Matnas Kahuna, the Kachim that was distributed in the Makom HaMikdash as Shalol. This was a Ruchnias Tiger Shalol. This was a Shalol Shal Kedusha. So it's all Tmur Razah. Hashem u'nachalosai, that's why they don't have a Nachla. Le'erev yichalek Shalol, that's ki ein loichelech, that's why they don't end up having a Shalol. Regardless, there were two Gersois and what the Targum really said. Did the Targum say Bachsante Yispin a Makdisha, or is it Bachsante Yispin a Midbacha Echatzan Afgamina? Could there have been a Mokum of Mizbeach in a Chelik that wasn't Binyamin, such as on that Ritzua that belonged to Shevi Yehuda? Or is the Kpeid the just a Mikdisha that it can't have any Kedushas? According to Rab, there was no Yesoid at all on those two sides. According to Levi, there was a Yesoid. It just didn't have any kedusha. It says Gemara Tashma, Yisoid Hayim Halach Al Pin Kol Atzafon, Val Pnei Kol HaMayriv. Yisoid went along the entire Tzafon side of the Mizbeach, the entire Mayriv side of the Mizbeach. Oichol B'Darim Amma, one Amma into Darim, and Ube Mizrach HaMachas, and one Amma into Mizrach. So it's pretty mafurish that there was no Yisoid at all other than the Amma on the Mizrach and the Darim side. So Lachura, it's a Raya to Rav, it's a Kasha on Levi. So the Gemara says, my Oichol Nami in Darim. Levi's going to tell you that when we say that it was only Oichol Amma means in terms of the Yisoid having Kedusha that you could put Dam there, for that it was only an Amma that you were allowed to put Dam there. But it doesn't necessarily mean that there was no Yisoid there at all. Tashma, I'll bring you another. The Mizbeach was 32 by 32. Now the Cheshbon of the Mizbeach being 32 by 32 would be that the Mizbeach itself was 30 Ammas. The Yisoid was one Amma. So if there's a Yisoid on one side, there's a Yisoid on the other side. So it's going to end up being 32 on 32. Because again, the Mizbeach itself is 30 Amas. The Yisoid is one Amma. There's a Yisoid on each side of the Mizbeach. That's when you get 32 by 32. But that's only true if there's a Yisoid on every side of the Mizbeach. If there was no Yisoid on every side of the Mizbeach, then how do you end up getting 32 by 32? Says the Gemara, Hachamayaskina and Minatzad. And it's not all four sides were 32 by 32. The Mairif side was a full 32, and the Tzafen side was a full 32. But on the Mizrach side and the Darim side, it wasn't a full 32, because only one Amma of it was 32 Amas. But the majority, the 31 Amis of it was in fact not 32, it was only 31. Tashma, another Shaila, Nimtza Perech Amma al Yesoid, V'Amma al Soivev. So this Nimtza is actually coming to answer a Kasha. It's a Gemara later in the Masechta, but the Gemara asks a Stira. It says that Mizbeach was 32 amas, and the kevesh, the ramp of the Mizbeach, was also 32 amas. So if you do the back envelope arithmetic, 32 plus 32 is 64. Problem is, the Mishnah says that if you count up the Makam HaMizbeach and the Makam HaKevesh, you get 62 amas. Why is it a kasha? 32 plus 32 is 64. 32 plus 32 is not 62. So the Gemara answers that kasha. Nimtso, you know what the answer is. Pireach amal yesoid, va'amal soiviv. The kevesh would go over 2 amas. Meaning there were 2 amas of the Mizbeach that were underneath the Kevesh. And as a result, if you count from the beginning of the Kevesh, the end of the Mizbeach, it's really 32 plus 30. It's not 32 plus 32. Which 2 amas? The Amah of the Soivev and the Amah of the Yesoid. You know what the problem is? What side of the Mizbeach was the Kevesh on? It was on the Darim side of the Mizbeach. There was no Amah Yesoid on the Darim side of the Mizbeach. So L'chayra, what do you mean that it's eating up an amma of Yisoid on the Darim side? There is no Yisoid on the Darim side. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ema kineged amma Yisoid, val amma Soivet. Kineged, where the amma Yisoid would have, could have, should have been, were it not for the fact that Yehuda got 1 ritzua of Binyamin, and kineged, where the amma Soivet was. But anachanami, according to Rav, you're going to have to say that there really was no amma Yisoid, but despite the fact that there was no amma Yisoid, it still protruded ke'ilu b'makim. It could have, would have, should have been. Tashma, Tani Levi, Ketzah b'nis ha-Mizbeach. How did they build the Mizbeach? So, how did they build the Mizbeach? So, the construction of the Mizbeach. Mevi'in, melabin, shushloishim, ushtayim, ashloishim, ushtayim. They took a form that was 32 amis by 32 amis. V'goyva yama. It had the height of an ama. Umiv chalukei avonim ufulamais. And then they would bring stones. Bein gedoilus, bein tanis. Didn't matter if they were big stones or small stones. Umiv yisit v'kunyi v'zefes. And then they brought the proverbial cement. Umemacha v'shoifech v'zeu makum yisoyed. And they would pour that cement into that area. And they would, till it got hard, nice and solid. And you ended up with a 32 by 32 area that was 1 amatol. That was going to be the Yisoid. Okay, so we're 1 amatol. We know the Mizbeach was 10 amas, right? So the Chayzer maybe Malavin Shushloishim Amas. Then they took another Malavin. That was 30 by 30. V'goy v'chamish Amas. That was 5 amatol. Umevi chaluki avon v'chul. They did the same thing. They filled it up with cement until it hardened. And now you have 6 amas. We still need 4 amas. The chayzer umevi malamet shu chavches al chavches. They brought another that was chavches al chavches. The goy vaygimel amas umevi chaluke v'chulu. Behu makam amarach. That was the main part of mizbeach. That's where the marach of the mizbeach was. What was that indentation for? So the first indentation was to create the yisoid. Right, the yisoid had to be 1 amah wider than the mizbeach. So that's why the yisoid, the first block, the first form was 32 by 32. The next one was 30 by 30. So you have the amma on each side, which is going to make up the yisoid. The third form was 28 by 28. Because again, you want that indentation to make up the soivev. Right? There were 2 indentations in the mizbeach. You had the indentation on the ground, that was the yisoid. And then you had it 6 amas from the ground, which was the soivev. So after they have the amma on the bottom, plus the 5 and the 3, 1, 5, and 3, that's 9. So what are we missing? The 10th amma. What was the 10th amma? Those were the karnois hamizbeach. So v'chayzer umevi melabim shu amma al amma. It was 1 amma by 1 amma. They brought 4 of them. They put them on the 4 corners. Umevi chalukei avanim ufulamis. Again, they brought stones, bing doilas, bing tanois. Umevi zavis v'kunya. And they brought this cement. Umemacha. They smoothed it. V'shayfech. They poured it. They let it dry. V'zeu keren. V'chein l'chol keren l'keren. And there were 4 of them. Each corner had its own keren. What's the kasha? The original form was 32 by 32. L'chura, it wasn't 32 by 32. I thought there was no Yisoid. So Bishlam, according to Levi, there was a Yisoid. It was 32 by 32. That part of it, Grada, didn't have any Kedusha. Okay. But according to Rav, then when we say there was no Yisoid on the Tzad Roimi and the Yisoid and the Tzad Mizrahi, it means literally there was no Yisoid at all. So what's this 32 by 32? Says the Bar Vechi, Tema, you're going to tell me the guy is law. Maybe what they did was they originally brought it by 32, and then they cut it out. They chiseled out the Amos Yisoid that wasn't supposed to be there. They took out most of the Darim side and most of the Mizrach side. But the Gemara says, every child knows this. Avonim Shlemois Ksiv. We know the Mizbeach had to be built like Son of Alei and Barzal. It had to be built with Avonim Shlemois. So the Gemara says, you have to say, you know what they did? The Machis Midi Mitusei, the Shakalei. They brought this form that was 32 by 32. But they knew that they were going to take out an Amma on the Darim side and an Amma on the Mizrach side. So they put something there that they knew they'd be able to pull out of the ground. So they stuck something, but it was portable. It was something that was very easy to take out. They waited for the form to dry, and then they plucked it out. So for some reason, they started it as a 32 by 32, but there was something there, like katchila, that was going to be removable, because at the end of the day, it wasn't supposed to be there. The Gemara says, I'll prove to you that That must be what they did. The stones that were in the karnois, in the four corners, were chalulois. And how do you know that? Because the pasuk says, that the corners of the mizbeach were like a mizrach. They had some sort of clay kibble. Had they have holes in the avanim, you're not allowed to have holes in the avanim. They have to be avanim shleimos. We just saw that the karnois were also made out of avanim. So how could there have been holes in those karnois? So the Gemara says, what do you have to say? What they did was they took a bunch of stones, they poured in cement, but before they poured cement in, they put things in that they would be able to remove so that when they removed it, it would create holes in the ear, not holes in the actual stones, but cracks between where the stones were. So like this, it would be kemizrach, it would have this clay kibble, you'd be able to be mekayim this halach of umalu kemizrach is obvious. Achanami, the same thing must have played itself out over here. The machas midei bituse v'shakalei. So before we go weiter, just one ha'ara. So we saw in this Gemara that the Beis HaMikdash was b'chelkei shel Binyamin. And really, the Harabayis and the Azara was where the Nachla of Yehuda and the Nachla of Binyamin met. The line literally went by the Makom HaMizbeach. So if you went up the Harabayis, the Azara, you're walking b'chelkei shel Yehuda. Up until, literally, the Makom HaMizbeach. From the Makom HaMizbeach, further towards the Ma'ariv side, towards the Maravi side, that all belonged to Shevet Binyamin. It had to be that way. Binyamin, Ze'ev, Yitrof, Baboyke, Yoichal, Ad, V'le'er, V'chalik, Shalom, Unkelis, Taiches, is all related to the Mokim of Ashrois, Hashchina, the Mizbeach. It all had to be Bechelkesh of Binyamin. In fact, there was one Ritzur that was Yoitzis, Michelkesh of Binyamin, into Chelkesh of Yehuda. And being that it was Bechelkesh of Yehuda, you ended up making the Mizbeach in a little bit of a distorted way. It wasn't a perfect square. It was supposed to be 32 by 32, but there was a din. It had to be Bechelkesh of Binyamin. And if it had be Bechelkesh of Binyamin, and that Ritzur didn't belong to Binyamin, it belonged to Yehuda, so there ended up being no Mizbeach there. How did it manifest itself? There was no Yisoid on the Tzad Mizrahi of the Mizbeach, and there was no Yisoid on the Tzad Marav, Dremi of the Mizbeach. Binyamin was very disappointed. He was Mitzta'er, Mechashe, Vidoyeg, Lenoitla, no less. That's what the Pasuk means when it says, Choyfei, Falav, Kol Hayom. We say in Vizoy Sabracha, Le Binyamin Amma, Yedid Hashem, Yishkan, Levetach, Olav, Choyfei, Olav, Kol Hayom, Uben Ksef of Shachim. What does it mean, Choyfei, Olav, Choyfei, Rashi says, is Ka'odem, Mechashe, Vidoyeg. He's trying to figure out what he could do to get out of his misery, that he lost out this one ritzua that he doesn't have. Interesting that this idea that the Beis HaMikdash was Bechelkei Shel Binyamin is actually a Rashi in Chumash in Parshas Vayigash. The pasuk says that when Binyamin and Yosef meet after being away for all those years, so Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, and in Yosef ha'oidav ichai, and he meets his brother Binyamin. The pasuk says Vayipal atzavori Binyamin achi vayev. He sees his brother Binyamin, and he falls on his neck and he begins to cry. Binyamin was also crying. Binyamin was crying on Yosef's neck. Pasha, what were they crying about? This was brotherly love. They hadn't seen each other for so many years. They shared their mother Rachel, and finally they embraced, and there was a lot of hergation, a lot of emotions that must have been flowing, and that's what they were crying about, right? Wrong. Rashi says, why did Yosef cry when he saw Binyamin? Because Yosef HaTzadik knew that the Beis HaMikdash, the two Bati Mikdash, would be Bechelkei Shel Binyamin. And he knew, Beruach HaKodesh, he saw at that time that those Bati Mikdash will one day be destroyed. And when he saw that, he was so distraught that he cried for his brother Binyamin. He's going to lose these two Bati Mikdash that are going to be in his chelim. Binyamin Bachal Tzavarav. Why did Binyamin cry for the same reason? Because Binyamin knew that Mishkan Shiloh was going to be Bechelkei Shel Yosef. And at that moment, he sees Beruach HaKodesh, that Beis HaMikdash is going to, the Mishkan Shiloh is going to be destroyed, and that's why he cried. So they weren't crying because of the fact that they hadn't seen each other for so many years. They were crying because they knew that there would be a Beis HaMikdash and a Mishkan in their respective territories, and one day it would be destroyed. And the obvious thing that you take away from this is you see the godless of the Shiftei Kah, Shvatim, they weren't regular people. They weren't crying because of what you would have expected them to cry. Rashi said, no way. Pasha, that's of course how you would learn. No, Yosef is crying because of something ruchnius. Binyamin is crying because of something ruchnius. They're crying because of Churban Beis HaMikdash. They're crying because of Churban Shilei. But I heard a shir once from Rabbi Eitan Feiner. So he said over a dover nifla from Rabbi Moshe David Vali. So Rabbi Moshe David Vali was a Talmud Chavar the Ramchal. And he said a hisafa to this idea. And that is that Yosef sees Binyamin, and he knows that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be Bechelkei Shel Binyamin, and it's going to be destroyed. So he cries for the fact that his brother is going to lose the Beis HaMikdash. Binyamin sees Yosef. He knows that Yosef is going to have Mishkan Shiloh in his chelek. It too is going to be destroyed. So he cries for Yosef. See, Binyamin didn't cry for the fact that he was going to lose the Beis HaMikdash. And Yosef didn't cry for the fact that he himself was going to lose Mishkan Shiloh. They were both crying for each other. Binyamin was crying for what Yosef was going to lose. And Yosef was crying for what Binyamin was going to lose. And he said that's an added godless state, you see, from the Shvatim. That they were crying, you're right, over Ruchnius. They were overwhelmed by emotion, an Ruchnius emotion. But not for their own loss. But it was going to be Finyanim's loss. So he shtelt su. He said, Avar from the Teferi Shloima, the Radomsky Rebbe. So we're all familiar with Eila Eskara, so that's the piyut that talks about the Asar Ruge Malchus that we say on Yom Kippur Musaf, Tiyeh Rabbi Shmuel Latzmoy. So there's this gzera that 10 tzaddikim, the 10 martyrs are going to have to give up their life to be mechaper for Mechiras Yosef. And it wasn't clear whether Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol was going to be the first of the Asar Ruge Malchus to be killed, he was the Kohen Gadol, or it was going to be Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he was from the family of Hillel, he was the Nasi. And there was a Geirel, and the Geirel ended up falling, V'nafala Geirel, al Rab Shimon, Lishpeich Domoy, Mir Kishar Par. And when Rabbi Yishmol, Kohen Gadol, heard that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to be killed before him, so the Pasuk says, Ma Ma'id Bacha Olav Bacharada. He cried, Ma Ma'id, he starts wailing uncontrollably. Bas Bliyal, the Kol Pchiyasash, Rabbi Yishmol, Amda, we all know the rest of the story. We spoke about him, Sechtes Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yishmol was very handsome, but either way, Bas Bliyal heard Rabbi Shmuel. So we talk a lot about the cries, the tears of Rabbi Shmuel. So Radomsky Rebbe quoted a Medrash. The Medrash says that Hashem took those tears that Rabbi Shmuel cried when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was killed, and he saved those tears. And he saved them, La'asad Lavai, and those tears are going to play an important role and a tremendous role in the end of days in order for us to have a Geula. So Radomsky Rebbe said, it's a Medrash Pliya. What's so special about those tears? Why are they better than all the other tears that the Jews have cried throughout the nations? So he said that we know that La'asad Lavai, the Geula is going to come because of Rachel Imenu, Rachel Nevaka Albanaha. He said there's a special koyach that the Moyas have. But there's a very special koyach that the Moyas have when you're crying for somebody else. So he said that Rachel Mevaka Albanaha wasn't an isolated incident. But it's a Dover Alamid Bebinyanav. It's a limud. It's coming to teach a yid that when you cry for somebody else, it has an unbelievable koyach. What was so unique about the tears of Rabbi Yishmael was that he was crying for somebody else. These weren't tears for his own misery. These were tears that he's crying over Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tears over somebody else, that has a special koyach. And how do you know that, said the Radomsky Rebbe? How do you know that's going to bring the Geula? That's Rachel Mevaka Albonaha. It's not only Rachel. Anytime a person cries, anytime a person can be nice of Olin Chavera, he could be mishtatim to somebody else's tsar in such an emistic way, to the point that he actually cried for somebody else, that has a special kach. And that's what Yosef did, and that's what Binyamin did. Yosef is crying for Binyamin's tsar, and Binyamin's crying for Yosef's tsar. Meaning, we all know that tears have a special koyach, sharid moyes leininalo, but not all tears were created equally. You know, the Kotzker Rebbe famously said that if sharid moyes leininalo, so why do they have to be sharim? What are the gates for? If they're never locked, they're never closed, so why do you have to have gates? So the Kotzker Rebbe said the gates are there to block out the falsha tereren. Because sometimes a person fakes it also. So it's Tanaka, and this was, of course, the Kotzker Rebbe Lishitase. The Kotzker was all about, he was all about emes, he was all about authenticity. You couldn't fake it in Kotzker. It didn't go very well. But there's different levels. There's the falsha tereren. For that, the Kotzker Rebbe said there are sharim. But even when it comes to real tereren, a person cries for himself, al zen nemar sharid mois leninalo. But that doesn't even come to when somebody cries for somebody else. When somebody cries for somebody else, that the Radomsky Rebbe said, that's Rachel Mevaka Albana. Of course, Rachel, she has a special schos for what she did with her sister Leah. But really, it's a dover halavim bebinyanav. It's a limud. That any time a person can really, really feel somebody else's tsar, that's ultimately what's going to bring the geula. Either way, Zokti Gemara Vayta. Dor Ashrova. So more on this note. Dor Ashrova. May dechsev ayelech David. V'shmuel v'yeshvu b'noyos b'ram. So the pasuk says that David and Shmuel go, and they settle in Noyos in Ramah. Says the Gemara, Vichima Indian, Noyes, Eitzel Rama. Noyes is a place, and Rama is a place. But it's not the same place. You can't be in Brooklyn, Lakewood. I mean, either you're in Brooklyn or you're in Lakewood. You can't be in both. So what does it mean, Noyes Rama? Elosho Yoshvin Birama. Really, they were in Rama. For Oiskin bin Noyes Shalaylam. And they were being Oisek, Rashi says. They were trying to figure out where the Beis HaMikdash was supposed to build. So one of the mysteries, if you go through the Torah Shabbat, the Pasuk says many times, the Yidden, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to go to El HaMokim HaShiyivcha Hashem, and you should bring Karbanos over there, and only there bring Karbanos, Shchutei Chutz, Alas Chutz. But if you go through the Pesukim, we have no clue. You're literally left hanging. There's no way to know where exactly that Mokim is supposed to be. So David HaMelech sits down, he's together with Shmuel, and he's pondering. He's trying to figure out. He's in Ramah, but he's thinking about Noyos. Noyos, the beauty of the world. The Beis HaMikdash, where is it supposed to be? Amris, he said as follows. The Kamtav Elisa Al Mokim. The Pasuk says that you should go up. So he knew it was an elevated place. But at the same time, he didn't know. What does that mean? So it's an elevated part of Eretz Yisrael. So it's a hint. But we still don't know where. So the Gemara says, I see Sefer Yeshua. So David HaMelech goes to the Sfurim Shafer, and he takes out Sefer Yeshua. And he starts going through all the different territories to try to see in whose chelek is this Mokim Gavaya. So he made a diak. He realized, Bekulik said by the territories of all the Shvatim, it says, Vayered. Hagvul, Vatar Hagvul, Veshevet Binyamin, Va'olak Sivayerit Laksiv. It never says Vayerit. Amris, it said, Shmami Nahachi Umakayimah. It must be in Shevet Binyamin, in Binyamin's chelek. So, So he went to the highest point in Shevet Binyamin, and he felt that's probably where I'm supposed to do. But Amri, but then he had a second thought. He said, "Nitzi Beit Kol." I think I'm going to lower it a little bit. Because now that I think about it, the pasuk says "Ubenk Seif of Shachin." Shachin is the Shechina, so it sounds like the Shechina is supposed to be right. That's in Binyamin. You did Hashem Benk Seif of Shachin, but it says by his shoulders. The head is the highest part of the person. The shoulders are shoulder length. That's not your full height. So he realized that it must be someplace close to the top, but not the highest point, and that's how he ends up in Har Meriah. The Iba Yisayim, as some say, David HaMelech ended up there a little bit differently. Gemir, because he had a Mesorah, the Sanhedrin Bechelka de Yehuda. The Shechina Bechelka de Binyam. He knew that the Shechina had to be Bechelka de Binyam. He also knew that the Sanhedrin had to be Bechelka de Yehuda. And he wanted them to be close to each other. So the Imad Linon, if he was going to put it in this area, that was the Eitam, that was the highest point of Shevet Binyamin, Mispalik Tuva. It meant that they were going to be far from each other. And he wanted them to be close by. So he said, Mutav Dinitzi Beit Purta, let me bring them a little bit closer by lowering the place. And Kiddich Sev Ubenk Sev of Shachin. And for that, he had an Asmachta, that same Pasuk, Ubenk Sev of Shachin. So David HaMelech is in Ramah, and he's pondering Noyei Shalayim. He's trying to figure out exactly where the Makam HaMikdash is, and takes out Sefer Yeshua, and he comes up with a Cheshbin, and he was able to figure it out. Says the Gemara, Val Dovah Zen Eskana. Doyga Adoymi was very jealous. He was jealous of David. He was jealous that David was able to figure out the Makam HaMikdash. Kidichsev, as the Pasuk says, Kikinas Beisa Achalosni. What does it mean? Kikinas Beisa. What was Doyg's jealousy? It was the jealousy over the bias. He was jealous that he was able to figure out where the bias was, whereas Doyga Adoymi, as smart as he was, as great as he was, it was something that he himself was never able to figure out. Kidichsev, and the Pasuk says, Zuchayr Hashem LeDavid, as kol anoisoi, asher nishbal Hashem v'goymer, em ovir bayol beisi, em etin shnas le'emai, laf apay tnuma, ad emtso mokem l'Hashem. So if you see the whole pasuk inside, the pasuk says, shira malos, tehillim kuflamid beis, zchayr Hashem l'david, as kol anoisoi. Hashem, remember the pain, the suffering that David HaMelech had. What was the suffering? Asher nishbal Hashem, not al avri Yaakov. He had promised and he had sworn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was the neder? What was the shvu of David HaMelech? He said, "Im avoy bayol beisi, im el al eres yitzuoi, in etin shnas le'enei lafapei tenuma." David HaMelech swears, he makes a neder, he says that I'm not going to sit down, I'm not going to rest, I'm not going to... David is a king. He has all the luxuries in the world. But David HaMelech said, I will not be calm, I won't be relaxed, I will not be able to kick my feet up. Ad emtso mokim Hashem nishkanei slavir Yaakov. Until I figure out what that mokim Hashem yivcha Hashem lekech is. Where is that place? What does the pasuk conclude? It says, Hinei shemanua be'efrasa, mitzanua b'steyar. What does that mean? Where did David HaMelech eventually find it? He found it be'efrasa. Zei Yeshua the Kosek Ephraim. And say for Yeshua, who came from Ephraim. That's the point. Hinei shemanua be'efrasa. is a wolf. A wolf lives in the forest. So it was a combination between the pasuk by Binyamin being safe of Shachin and the deal that he had in Sefer Yeshua, that by all the Shvatim it says Vayered, and by Binyamin it says Va'ala, and never says Vayered. It was a combination of Sefer Yeshua and the pasuk by Binyamin that David HaMelech was able to figure out exactly where the Makom HaMikdash is. But either way, so this is just the ribbon on this Gemara. The Gemara that started off on a more kachem deganot, that there was no Yisoid on the Tzad Deroimi and the Yitzad Mazrachi, the Mizbeach, and that's why the Oila had to be Shtaim Shein Arba, couldn't just be Arba, because it had to be Tchilas Oilas, weren't Al Kavachimref and Shvich HaShirayim, it had to be connected to Yisoid. Why was there no Yisoid in those areas? Because it was Bechalkei Shal Yehuda, and the Mizbeach primarily was Bechelkei Shel Binyamin, and the Gemara ends with a Dvar HaGadah, that who is the one that figured out where the Makom HaMikdash was supposed to be? It was David HaMelech. And of course, the next thing is David HaMelech ends up buying the Harem Iriah, and the rest is history. His son Shlomo HaMelech ends up building the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to tell you something very interesting. So we've spoken a few times about Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer and his sefer that he wrote, Derisha Siyain, and specifically the Shakla, the Tyre that he had with many of the Ga'inei Oilam of his time, Rav Kiva Eger, his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, and others. It's interesting that Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, I mean, if you go through Drisha Siyain, which thanks to Usher Weinrib, I did, so it was really motivated by two things. Number one, there was this Hashkafic idea that if Yidden would go up to Eretz Yisrael, they would make Aliyah, we would be Makar of the Geula, and eventually Mashiach would come, and it would be Bayis Shlishi. And he believed, like others did, that in order for the Geula to come, we need to do things. We need to start being Mishtadol. We have to do things on our end that will eventually bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu to finish the job and bring the Nevi'im and the Ishman HaShemayim and Eliyahu HaNavi and the Kol Shofar and Mashiach Ben David and everything that's supposed to happen. But this Iris has to be Melesata. It has to come from us. And that clearly was a huge factor in the Sefer Drisha Siyan, and that's what Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was lobbying for. In addition to that, there was a more halachic component, and that was he felt that it was Shayach to build a Mizbeach and bring Karbanos just based on the influence that the Jews had at the time. So his thought was, if we could do it, then maybe we have an obligation to do it. And he knew which Karbanis Sibur, Tumah Chubit Sibur, and that's, you know, some of the raid and some of the lundis that we've spoken to, and Yetz Hashem we're going to get back to. It's interesting that in Drisha Siyan, one of the big tainas that he had, that he felt was a compelling raya to his argument, and that is that the Yidden should go up to Eretz Yisrael and they should, you know, make as much ishtadlus as they can to try to do what they could do to bring Mashiach, was a Ramban in Parshas Bo. So the pasuk says that l'shichnoi sidrisha ubasa shama. It's in Parshas Re'eh. It's Devarim Perik Yudveis pasuk Vav. So the pasuk says l'shichnoi sidrishu. Literally, sidrishu means you should be doyrish. There's also farshten l'sidroi darshu. Thou shalt seek out his presence. You should try to inquire, find out where the Shechina is, Uvasa Shama, and you're supposed to go there. Listen to the Ramban. Says the Ramban, what does it mean, L'shichnei Siddush Uvasa Shama? Shetelchu me'eretz marchakim. You should come from faraway lands. V'tishalo, and you should ask, Ano derech Beis Hashem? Where is the Beis Hashem? V'taymru ishal re'yeyu l'chu v'nala l'har Hashem el Beis Alekei Yisrael k'loshin tzion yishalu derech heinapnei. Ubisifri, this is the punchline, says the Ramban, Tidrishu means Droish al Pinavi. The Shichmei Sidrishu, what does it mean, Sidrishu? You should Darshan, what does it mean? You should be Doirish? You should be Doirish al Pinavi. Yochel says the Sifri Tamtin Achiyem al-Khanavi. So you would think, okay, wait at home until you hear the Shifer, until the Navi comes and the Navi tells you what you're supposed to do. Talmud Loimar, the Shichmei Sidrishu, Uvasa Shama, Droish, Umitsa. First, you do what you're supposed to do. Go find the Makom HaMikdash, and then afterwards the Navi is going to come. The Chena Tomoitza says the Ramban, the David. And you find that David HaMelech did just that. David HaMelech didn't wait for a Navi to tell him where the Makom HaMikdash was. David HaMelech didn't stay at home and say, okay, when I hear the Shofar, I'll know. Now's the time to start building the Beis HaMikdash. No, David HaMelech said that I couldn't sleep. Schar Hashem le David is kala nusoy. Im avoy bayo beisi, im el al eres yitzuyoy. In etin shnas le'inei lafapei tenuma. He was obsessed. Adam Tzavakim Lashem. So says the Ramban, what David HaMelech did is a limud l'dayrois. It's a sifri. It's a pasuk. It's a mitzvah. 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 But Yochel Tamtin Ad Sheyam Lecha. No, you don't wait for the Navi. Droishu Mitzvah Ve'acha Kach Yam Lecha Navi. Says the Ramban. V'chein Atam Mitzvah David. And you see both things by David. You see that David HaMelech tried finding the Makom HaMikdash by himself, and not just that. When David HaMelech finally felt that he had discovered the Makom HaMikdash, so the pasuk says that God HaChizeh, God the seer, the prophet, comes and he reveals himself to David and he says, you found the right place and let's go buy it, and the rest is history. It's a Ramban. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. And his ray is David. So we all know the story of David. It's a Gemara. We just learned it. We know exactly what David HaMelech did. So said Rav Tzvi Arish, I hold that that's what we're supposed to do. How could we be living in Europe, in Poland, in Hungary, in Russia, in the United States, wherever Jews were living at the time, and we're going to sleep at night and we have no issues? David HaMelech, it's a pasuk in the Torah, etin shnas le'ena, it should bother us. No, so up until now we couldn't do it, but he says now we have the ability to do it. If we have the ability to do it, doesn't that mean we have an obligation to do it? Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, the Aruch Haner, in his Binyan Tzion, when he responded to Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer's chibur of Drisha Tzion, he addressed this argument. So he tells Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer that, you know, I saw what you wrote and you wanted to bring a raya from this Ramban. He says, I don't think that's what the Ramban means. There's no way that's what the Ramban means. So you know what Ramban means? Ramban means, not go build a mizbeach. That's what he means. And start building a Beis HaMikdash, start bringing Mashiach. The Ramban is l'shitasai. The Ramban holds as a mitzvah saseh d'iraisa of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, in his Taryag mitzvahs, goes through all 248 mitzvahs essay. He never mentions Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban, Kiyodua, had his Hashmat Asa'es, and he has a list of mitzvahs saseh that he believes the Rambam omitted. And his number four, Hashmata so es in Dalit is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And it's the Ramban l'shitasa in two places in his Pirush al HaTorah, where the Ramban says Mefurish based on Psukim that a Yid has a chiyuv, he has an obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban, by the way, was a Derush and Mekan. The Ramban himself made Aliyah. The Ramban lived, he went, the end of his life, the Ramban lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban l'shitasa, he said, Aruch Lener, who holds is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's all he meant. L'shich l'sidrash uvasa shama meant that you should go up to Eretz Yisrael. Don't wait for the Navi to tell you to go to Eretz Yisrael. That's what he meant. But fakir, in terms of everything else, that you're supposed to wait for the Navi. And he said, I'll prove to you that's Pshat in the Ramban. Because David HaMelech finds the Makom HaMikdash. Does it say David HaMelech built the Mizbeach? It doesn't say he built the Mizbeach. He waited for God HaChayzah to come to him. And when God HaChayzah came to him, then he built the Mizbeach. So he says, Erechanami, L'shich Lein Sidrashu, you found the Ramban in Parashas Re, who holds as a mitzvah saseh to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. There's many Rambans, but Furish Rambans all over the place. The Ramban in Parashas Maseh, there's Ramban in Parashas Dvarim, the Ramban in Hashmat HaSa'es, and that is the Ramban Shita. Everyone knows it's the Ramban Shita. Okay, so it's another Ramban. Zeya, Geshmakim, Marimokim. The next time you learn the Sugi of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But the Ramban doesn't say go build a Mizbeach, just the opposite. That's what it means that you wait for the Navi. And if the Raya is V'chein HaTamayitz of the Dovid, that's what David HaMelech did. But the Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wrote back in his Drisha Sin to the Aruch Haner, he brings the response that Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger gave him, and he said, I'm not masking. He says, number one, because the Ramban talks about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he never quotes this pasuk. Yeah, he has different psukim that he quotes, but he never ever quotes this pasuk. It's not mashman that this is one of his Yishuv Eretz Yisrael digger psukim, because if it was, he would quote it. It's very, very not mashman that way. He says, in terms of the diyuk, why did David HaMelech wait for God HaChayza? Why didn't he bring a carbon right away? It's very simple, because David didn't know where the Makom HaMizbeach was. David HaMelech had no way of knowing where the Makom HaMizbeach was. He said, we know where the Makom HaMizbeach was. We already had two. We have a Mesechtes Tomid, we have a Mesechtes Midos, we have a Mesechtes Vachim, we have already a whole Seder Kachim and Toiras Kayanim with Rishonim and Achronim and Briskerain. We know, we can figure it out. He said, David HaMelech had no way of figuring it out. So he had to wait for God HaChayza to come reveal him. L'maisa was a Machlekes, had to learn this Ramban, and Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, a big part of his feeling that he had that he was right came from this Ramban. But I'll tell you something really, really interesting, and that is that he believed that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, that the way Mashiach is going to come and the way the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, brace for impact, is that the Ummah, the most powerful nation that exists at that time, is going to give the Yidden Rishus to build the Beis HaMikdash. The Yidden are going to build the Beis HaMikdash. One thing is going to lead to another, and eventually all the Nisim and all the Niflois are going to take place. But at least the beginning is going to start, it's going to start with an Ummah giving the Yidden Rishos. Sounds like a very, very big Kiddush, right? It's not the way they taught us in Yeshiva. It sounds almost hard to believe. It's a Mefurish Ramban, it's a Mefurish Rabbeinu Bechaya, and it's a Mefurish Radak. Three Rishayna. Three of the Gedoyle Rishayna. First, the Radak. The Radak is in Tehillim. It's Kapitel Kuf Mem Vav. It's the first Halleluka. It's a Halleluka, Halleluka, Nafshi Es Hashem. A Hallelu Hashem Bechaya, Azamer Lelikai Biyodi. Al Tiftachu Bendivim, Beven Adam She'im Lois Teshuah. Right? Atif Techu Ben, don't be soymich even on a divin, even on powerful people. Beven Adam, at the end of the day, is Beven Adam and Lois Teshuah. He has no way of helping you. Says the Radak, Beven Adam She'im Lois Teshuah, She'im Loi Beratzin Akel Yisparach. Because if Hashem doesn't want to bring any Yeshua, in Biada Adam Lois Shiach Haveri Mitzarasa. There's no way for a person, no matter who he is, he could be the richest, wealthiest, most powerful, doesn't matter. Beven Adam, at the end of the day, even if he's Nedivim, Ein Lois Teshuah. Stating that, Ki Hashem Bavadi had Teshuah. For who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to this, Yesoy Vevenu Al Yedei Bnei Yad. Meaning, it's true, Ben Adam is Ein Lois Teshuah. That just means that if he doesn't want to help, he can want and do whatever he wants, it's not going to help. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring a Yeshua, then Hashem very often will be Mesoyvev the Yeshua Al Yedei Bnei Yad. Ukemoy Shesovav Chuas Golus Bavel Al Yedei Kairash. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Chu of Golus Bavel, it came Al Yedei Cyrus. Cyrus the Great, Darius, the son of Esther and Achashverosh, but at the end of the day, it came from a Ben Adam. It came from Nedivin. I be Ben Adam, Hashem Lois Teshuah. It means that Koresh wasn't in control, Hashem wasn't in control. Says the Radak, and here's the punchline, the Chayin lost it. The same is going to be the true loss of Lava. Yisaviv Geulas Yisrael al Yedei Malchei Hagoyim. The Geulas Yisrael is going to come al Yedei the Malchei Hagoyim. Sheyor es rucham l'shalcham. K'moy sheksiv Yishai Yisamech Vav ve'heviu es kol acheichem mikol agoyim minchal Hashem v'zeh yeh. Why are we going to be zoich in the Geulah? L'fisha batchu Yisrael begalus bekel Yisbarach levav. When we're going to have betachim, when we're going to realize al tiftachu ben divim b'ven Adam she'en lois Yeshua, that's when the ven Adam she'en lois Yeshua is actually going to bring us to Yeshua. But it's going to come because we're trusting in Hashem. And we realize that ben Adam is ein lois Yeshua. But what happens then? What happens is then the Yeshua comes from the Bnei Adam. Just like it happened at the end of Golus Bavel, v'chei lo'osid yisaviv Geulas Yisrael al yedei malchei hagoyim. It's a mefurish radar. Rabbeinu Bechaya says a very similar sentiment in Parsha Shmini. The Rabbeinu Bachya brings a Medrash Tanchuma. Lama nimshala malchus zu lechazer. Why is malchus edoyim compared to a chazer? So he brings a nusach she'osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehachzer aleihem midas adin. Because Hashem is going to take revenge from Edoim and he's going to throw midas adin on them. But he says, v'yesh nuschois, says Rabbeinu Bach, I found different nuschois in the Medrash Tanchuma that says, you want to know why Edoim is compared to a chazer, she'osir lehachzer atorah liyoshna. Because Edoim is going to be machzer atorah liyoshna. Ve'o inyin, kishnei ha-mikdashim nivnu al-yidei Yisrael. The first base ha-mikdash and the second base ha-mikdash were built al-yidei Yidin. Ba'yis rishin banas shloima shu mizer Yehuda. Ba'yis sheni banas rubavel shu ha-yigam kein mizer Yehuda. I'm skipping. Aval ha-ba'yis ha-shlishi, the third base ha-mikdash, asida umazul of Naisa. You know who's going to build? Edoim is going to build it. Ve'zeu sha'amru asa lahachzer atorah liyoshna, l'fisha hu achrivay. And now the onus is upon him to rebuild it. So Edoim is called a chazer, miloshin machzer. What's it mean, machzer? It's be machzer atar liyeshna. The third base of Mikdash is going to be built, not al yudei Zera Yehuda. It's going to be built al yudei Ed. Unbelievable. The third Marum Makim that he brought was Ramban. He said that Ramban says in... Ramban is in Sefer Yeshaya, and the Ramban over there is discussing a well-known pasuk. The pasuk says, "Nu'um Hashem Elokim mekabetz nitchei Yisrael." Oh, akabetz all of the nikbatzah. Right? We all know the pasuk. Says the Ramban, what are these two things? "Nu'um Hashem Elokim mekabetz nitchei Yisrael." Oy, that kabetz all of the nikbatzah. Hashem's mekabetz nitchei Yisrael, and then it's going to happen since Tzveitimol. Says the Ramban, "Shemetchilo yikabetz Rabbi nitchei Yisrael." V'loy kula. There's going to be a kibbutz galias. Some. Not all. And then oyd akabitz all of the nikbatzav she yikbetzu sheines ala nikvatzim hakvutzim ikvar. And then there's going to be a second kibbutz. So it says Rav Tzviyash Kalisher that you see there's going to be two kibbutz goliases. So this is like a little bit of a raya to what it is I'm saying. And then he says v'chein yir be'enai mavur. I think it's clear that we're in the Torah Akdoshah. Because the pasuk says v'shav Hashem alekecha shfuscha v'richa mecha. And then the pasuk says v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol amu asher yifitzcha Hashem alekecha sham. Omar shnei pomim v'shav. It says v'shav twice. And then again, Vishav, what's these two things? So he says, like this Ramban, it's very Gishmak. It's these two kibbutz goliases. It's Na'um Hashem Alekim Mekabitz Nitche Yisrael. And then you have Oy Dakabitz all of the Nikbatzav. So it's a shtickle, a raya from Ramban in Sefer Yeshaya. It's interesting. It's a chiddush to me. There are Tzviyash Kalish who didn't bring a Mufurish Ramban. This Ramban, which is just a reference, and he has a nice hoisafa to it from the two times that it says in the Torah of Vishav, it's really a Mefurish Ramban. And the Ramban is in on his pirush on Shir Hashirim on the pasuk Elof Lecha Shloimei. I quote: Reishis haGeula Asida TLP Rishin haMalchios. The initial Geula is going to come because the Malchios, the leaders of the world at the time, are going to give the Jews permission to go settle in Eretz Yisrael. V'yik tzas kibbutz galus. This is going to be a little bit of a kibbutz galus. V'achakach yosef Hashem yisparuch shenis yadah. And then Hashem is going to, there's going to be a round two. K'dichsev v'shaveh shvoscha. V'achakach, and afterwards it says v'shaveh kibetzcha mikol ha'am. Mefurish Ramban. But al kopadim, that Ramban is in Shir Hashir. Regardless, we have it mefurish in the Radak, in Rabbeinu B'chaya, and Kamat Mefurish in Ramban and Yeshaya and Shir Hashirim, this idea. So Tzviyash Kalisha felt at that time that the Jews were powerful enough and they had enough influence that they can go and they could start lobbying the leaders of the world at the time. So it's interesting, Tzviyash Kalisha wrote a letter in 1836 to Anshel Rothschild, who was one of the wealthiest men of the world. I think he was the son of the patriarch of the Rothschild family. They actually have, if you have the Moshe Rav Kook edition of the Drisha Siyon, you can see a copy of the original letter. I have it right here. You see it? Exhibit A. But refer to our PowerPoint presentation. No, but it's the actual letter that he wrote to Anshel Rothschild, telling him a lot of things that we just spoke out, and this is the way the Geula is going to come, and he felt that he had protection with Napoleon and with the King of England, and he wanted him to use it. He sent a letter to Moses Montefiore. There was a Yid by the name of Albert Cohn, who apparently was the executor. He was the right-hand man to the Rothschild family. So if you wanted money from the Rothschilds, he was the person you had to know. So apparently he had a relationship with him. He sent letters to him, and he lobbied a lot of the influential Jews, and this was all based on, again, his hashkafa, but it boils down to a sefri that said, the Ramban quotes in Parash Yisra'eh, the punchline is, V'chein atam moitzeh b'David, where? Zvachim daf nun dalar on this.